Greetings to all of God's people. This is again Mordecai Joseph. We're today in lesson 169. And in the last lesson, we were just touching upon the fact that God is going to bring back his people to himself, as we were in Obadiah, that he's going to forgive them all their sins, a fact that he has recorded a long time in advance. And therefore, there was never any reason for the nations of the earth, that is, the people that read the Bible, to ever doubt that, and yet, since they went astray, they began to believe their own lies. And the lies were, basically, as we covered in the series of the history of the Church of God, who and what is the Church of God, the deception was that God rejected his people, he's no longer having a relationship with them, and many went, you know, as far as saying, actually most of them, saying that, you know, the Jews are all going to be in hell because they've rejected Jesus Christ, and they're the sons of the devil, and so forth. And all that totally contrary to what the Bible has made very plain. God is going to deliver them from their enemy, and the main one is Edom. And Edom comes in many forms, because Edom went different places and therefore took different names. And Edom is linked, as the Bible makes it very plain, and also history was linked with other nations because they spread everywhere. And they were linked with the Philistines, and they were linked with the Amalekites, because to begin with, Amalek is a descendant of Edom. They are linked with the Ishmaelites because they intermarried with the Ishmaelites, and they are linked with the Greeks because they were mixed with them as they went to Lebanon to the north. That's in those areas, and then other nations in the Middle East, and also they went to other countries and they were linked with other nations. And from those nations, they constantly continue to persecute Jacob, that is, vying for the birthright one way or the other, and at times subjugating them, and at times being under subjection to them. And mostly, obviously, they were to be in subjection to Jacob, and that was the prophecy that and the blessing, in essence, and the part of the birthright that Isaac was delivering to Esau and to Jacob. That was the will of God. And so they are linked also to Babylon, and ultimately, as God said, he's going to bring them deliverance, forgive their sins and iniquities, that is, the people of Israel, and bring them back, and he's going to take them back to himself. That's the reason why he came and gave his life for his wife. Not in order to get rid of his wife, but as Isaiah made very plain in the prophecy, famous prophecy, but the coming of the suffering Messiah, Isaiah 53, that he was afflicted for our iniquities, for our sins, you see. He came to give his life for the sins of his wife, of his people, and also for the rest of mankind. But he did not come to bring or to be sacrificed or to give his life for the sins of his people so he can get rid of them. On the contrary, so he can cleanse them and purge them and purify them and wash them with his own blood. You see, and when you come to the New Testament, you read this terminology, but most people don't understand it because they've been led all these 2,000 years to believe the lie that this is speaking about a church, you know, a different identity, different organization, made of all the nations of the earth. And it's not speaking about that, you know, that false, you know, Babylon, that's what God calls it, a false church that assumes that identity of Israel and takes all the blessings and promises and covenants and all that to herself. See, that's a false church. That's a church of the devil. And Edom was a part of it, part and parcel of it. Now this is speaking about Israel. And so God is going to forgive them and take them to himself. And so many prophecies, God made it very plain. And then Edom, becoming a part of the conspiracy in essence, to deceive all mankind, to believe that they are the church, made of all nations of the earth, Israel is, nevertheless, from the point of view of God, the only one, the only nation that God had chosen, the only wife that God had chosen to be his wife, that is, the one that became Jesus Christ, and the only one he's going to bring back to be his wife and marry. All the rest will become children, including the remnant of the children of Edom. And so that's, in essence, as we read last time, and Hosea chapter 2 and verse 16, and chapter 1, he's making very plain that all of Israel and Judah will come back. They appoint themselves one hand and come back to the land that now they are dividing. And ironically, the children of Israel, in their ignorance, not knowing who they are, putting pressure on brother Judah to give the land back to the enemy, to Edom, to Amalek, to the Philistines. You see, a land that belongs to them too. A land that they're going to have later on to deliver from the enemies that are there. And we're going to read it in Isaiah chapter 11, as we read also in Obadiah. Joseph also is going to be involved in the liberation of the land of the fathers that was given to them. And now they are personally involved in pressuring Brother Judah to give back to Edom. What an irony. And so in Hosea chapter 2, he says very plainly in verse 16, it shall be in that day, says the Lord, that you will call me my husband. That is in the day when he brings them out of captivity to Edom and to others, including Egypt and nations in the area and other places in Europe, Syria, and wherever they may be. Because their captivity is not going to be only in one place, but in many places. All the whole world is going to turn against them. And then God is going to deal with the whole world and cause the nations to, you know, submit to him and bring his children from everywhere to the land. And the reason is because he's going to marry them. They're his people. And they're the ones who are going to be again the light of the world as they were meant to be to begin with. And so in that day he says, you will call me my husband. You see? Well, how many wives is he going to have? Only one, obviously. And who is that wife? Israel. God makes it very plain. And there are going to be some among them who are spiritual commonwealth of Israel, the Israel of God, and all those that God grafted along the way from the nations. And then the majority of the nation still is going to be physical, that is a remnant of them that will be alive. And then all those who will be resurrected in the second resurrection, they will join the same marriage. And Satan, the devil, you know, has deceived all mankind. And unfortunately, most people in the churches of God are also deceived. You know, they all believe in the Babylonish doctrines of the identity of the church. And therefore, they're totally mixed up. That's one reason why they don't even know the identity of Edom. They have only partial knowledge and understanding. And so God is going to make Israel his wife. She will call him my husband, and no longer call me my master. That is my Baal in Hebrew. Baal means Lord. You know, you see people all over the place talking about the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. You know, the Lord said, and you know, a lot of people, you know, on a personal basis, you know, the spirit of lies and divination is in them, and they say, oh, the Lord told me that. You know, he told me to buy this one. He told me, you know, to do this or say that. There's no nation on the face of the earth, you know, that abuses its name. It's the people of Israel. And all the lies, you know, that constantly come out of their mouth, and they believe it. They've been told lies by their leaders, by the ministers, and they believe those things, and they repeat the same. And they all think they have got the Spirit. Yeah, well, they certainly have the Spirit. But what Spirit? And so he said, you shall no longer remember. And that means, you know, all those lords, Baals, in time past, where they literally worshipped Baal, but he's speaking about Baals in the plural, you know, many. There was one person called Baal, you know, one God called Baal, the Lord, the Master. But he's speaking about many Baals, because Israel has had many. And to this very day, they have one that think he is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's, you know, he's a false concept, you know. Think about a person with long hair and blonde eye, you know, blonde hair, sometimes blue eyes, sometimes dark, sometimes short, sometimes fat. You know, I mean, they've got all kinds of shapes and sizes for him. And colors, they show you the deception in them, and all these are Baals. You know, because every single one of them they regard as Lord. And so they shall no longer be remembered by their name. And in that day I will make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. Unlike today, you know, you've got chaos in the weather, and with the creeping things of the ground. And the bow and the sword of battle I will shatter from the earth. And mainly that of brother Edom that is constantly after them, vying for the birthright. And Ishmael that joins him, and other nations also. And Assyria. You see? God says, I'm going to put an end to it. And in essence, he's saying, I'm going to put an end to the enmity and to this constant ongoing battle and fight and war and clashes and conflict between the twin brothers, Jacob and Esau. Verse 19, the end result, he said, I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice, in loving kindness and mercy, and I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Eternal. You shall know the Lord, just like it says about Adam and Eve. You see? And Adam knew Eve, you see? And she knew him, and that's how they had marriage and then children. That's what he's talking about, because they're going to be husband and wife. You see? And a part of the conflict also between brother Jacob and Esau was that great deception and the false church that basically was championed, when you study history and the biblical understanding, this false religion and system was championed by brother Edom. You see, he couldn't have the true God because he rejected him. He couldn't have the birthright. He couldn't have religion of his father. He rejected that. He couldn't have the Messiah. He couldn't have the scepter. He couldn't have any of those things because he departed from that and was contrary to God and was in contempt of God. And therefore, he gave himself, without even realizing it, wholeheartedly in many ways to the devil, who used him to smite Jacob now and then, and some at times according to the will of God, and he used him to promote this false religion, a counterfeit religion, you see, in opposition to the religion of brother Jacob. And basically, well, this is what you see. And many people, not having a knowledge and understanding of who Edom is, where Edom went, what Edom was involved with all this time, never understood this global conflict that was not only for birthright in terms of the physical material, but also the spiritual birthright. And the two false religions there, and actually there was another one that was fostered, became known as Islam. And as you study history, you realize that Muhammad came from a territory that was in control and under the dominion of Edom. You know, the area of Mecca and Medina, that whole territory was known as the land of Edom, and Medina was the capital of Edom in that territory. He had many capitals, many other areas, because he had many tribes, many nations. And Muhammad came from that configuration. You know, the man of the sword, as he's called, and that's what Edom was, a man of the sword. And that was another religion, in defiance of the God of heaven. Defiance of the God of Israel, the God of Jacob, and the one that used to be the God of Esau. So he's got two religions. He's championing, in essence, two religions, along with other nations are with him. You know, in the Middle East, he had also Ishmael with him, and others also. And then in Europe, and other places, he was also part and parcel of that false religion that calls itself the Church, in opposition to the true Church. When you understand the identity of Edom, you begin to understand all these things. Then you really have a clear perception, comprehension, understanding of world prophecy, you know, that is global prophecies and events and the whole scenario of prophecy. And unfortunately, when you don't know Edom, you just don't know that. And so we were misled by misunderstanding, and since we were still a part of Babylon without even realizing it, in certain concepts that we had, and that blinded us to the true reality of the conflict between Jacob and his twin brother, and the consequences of that, not only in terms of the war and bloodshed and conflict, and, you know, in the Middle East and other places, but also the religious aspect of it too, the spiritual aspect of it, of the conflict, the false church and the true church. And then arose another false church. Since part of the Edom was in the Middle East, therefore there was a need for another false church there. That's what Islam is all about. And all that is going to come crushing down on all of them, you see, and destruction, captivity on all of them, including Jacob. And then out of that, God is going to, you know, out of the ashes of all this, God is going to resurrect, so to speak, Jacob from his captivity and affliction and oppression and deception. And he will marry Jacob. And then Esau will be subject to Jacob. And Ishmael will be subject to Jacob. You see, and then all of them will be like brothers, and live in peace together, and, you know, around the table of the father Abraham. That's going to be the ultimate one. And Abraham also looked forward toward that time when all are in peace in the heavenly Jerusalem that will be on this earth. That's the city he was looking for. And all those that came after him that understood it. You see, that's a part of the story of the origins of the Middle East conflict. And when we don't know all the players, We're all mixed up there. We have partial knowledge and understanding, and that's confusing. Anyway, let's go now to the book of Amos, where we shall read more about the story. And in Amos chapter 1, we read something about Edom being linked to a calamity of Jacob. So we read in verse 6 of Amos, thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Gaza, you know, Gaza, that's where the Philistines were, but also Edom, went over there and mixed with them. And so therefore they, you know, being also enemies to begin with of Israel, being the Philistines, and now with the Edomites among them also, obviously they had even a greater reason to hate brother Jacob, Israel. And so we read, for three transgressions of Gaza and for four, I will not turn away its punishment. You read more about it also in Jeremiah 47. Because they took captive the whole captivity, that is speaking about Judah in particular, and the second, the first destruction of the temple, and the first captivity of Judah, and also in the second captivity of Judah, Philistines were already there, were always there, were still there, and Edom with them, that lived in the same terrain, you know, in the same vicinity in the south, you see. And so you can see the links between these two. And so it says, because they have taken the whole captivity, you see their involvement, and that's coming also in the future. It's got several fulfillments to this prophecy. It says, they have taken the captivity, the whole captivity, to deliver them up to Edom. And when you understand also in modern time, as well as in the past, that Edom also was involved in Babylon, in ancient Babylon, also modern Babylon, you begin to understand more what you're reading here. You see? And so, he said, he's going to bring destruction on them because of that. And later on, you read about the Philistines, you know, that the destruction is going to bring upon them, as you read in verse 8 at the end, and the remnant of the Philistines, they are today still there in the Gaza Strip, Palestinians. The remnant of the Philistines, he says, shall perish no more. See, no peace negotiations with them. No Arab lands, you know, claims anymore. They'll be asleep, awaiting the second resurrection. No more conflict. And those Edomites among them also will go down with them. Now this is what God says. You see, the remnant of the Philistines shall perish, says the Eternal, the God of Jacob. And then you read in verse 11. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Edom, and for four, I will not turn away its punishment. And here you read several punishments on the all the neighbors of Judah and all the evils that they've committed. And then, obviously, he's going to go also to the evils of Judah and Israel, too. That's in the ancient times. And so those things are also have dual fulfillments in the future and in the soon coming future. And so of Edom, he says, on the three transgression of Edom, and for four, you know, it's an idiom to talk about the total concept of punishment that is going to bring them and their iniquities. He says, I will not turn away its punishment. Why? Because he pursued his brother. You see, that's the way he regards it, and yet that's not the way they regard it. It says, because he pursued his brother with the sword, brother Jacob. In particular, you know, Judah, because Judah was there in that land, but in other areas, he did the same thing with the children of Israel. And when you study, you know, the history of Edom into the future and where he went, then you will understand what this is talking about. And so he said, because he pursued his brother with the sword, he's a man of the sword, and cast off all pity. He did it in the past. He did it in the past 2,000 years. He's still going to do it one more time. And he said, and his anger tore perpetually. He would never forgive Jacob, even though he lost his identity and does not even know who Jacob is. What he knows is who Judah is. And so he persecutes Judah openly, but he himself doesn't know his own identity now. You see, in the Middle East, at least they kept the measure of identity, knowing that they're all children of Abraham. But, you know, the major part of Edom that went away lost his identity just like Jacob did. And yet the enmity continued to be there and it was perpetual. And any time he could, you know, he would pursue his brother with a sword. And so he said his anger tore perpetually and he kept his wrath forever. You see, that's a conflict there between Edom, brother Edom, and his twin brother Jacob. And that's what God stresses through the entirety of the whole Bible. It is an Edom-Jacob conflict. You see? And on a spiritual level, you see the two princes behind them. One is the prince of peace, the God of Jacob. The other one is the prince of war, the devil himself. And the religions that respond through Edom, both the false church, you see, in particular, the great church, it's called the great whore in Revelation 17, and also the one that rose in the Middle East, because he was in two places, generally speaking, therefore there was a need for two religions. And he's in the middle of it. And so God says, but I will send a fire upon Teman, that is the south, which shall devour the palaces of Bosra. You see, now Bosra was the ancient capital of Edom, and today you find that city is the main oil capital of Iraq, because that's, again, where people of Edom are, among other places. And God makes it very plain. The origin and the locations of the conflict and the people and the attitude there, that is there, and it is also in other areas of the world. And so, let's go now to the book of Malachi, where we read a little bit before about the attitude that God has toward brother Jacob and brother Esau, in contrast. In other words, the twins, from his point of view. Now, Jacob had an awful lot of problems. Jacob caused more grief to God than any other nation on the face of the earth, because Jacob should have known better, you see. And God constantly punished Jacob, probably even more than Esau. And yet Jacob returns to God. Jacob never, you know, stood in opposition to God and his sovereignty to decide to whom the land is to be given. That problem was not Jacob's. And Jacob still retained the religion of God, even though oftentimes was polluted and defiled and contaminated in many ways. You see? And Jacob returns to God now and then in repentance. And yet, you don't see Esau ever. Once he departed from God, he never came back. He always in opposition to God. He's always with the enemy. He's always given to hatred and darkness and sword and bloodshed. You see? He's always given to that opposition between him and his brother, which in essence is a direct opposition to God himself. And so when you put all those things together, even though Esau has many good qualities, for certain qualities that he has, God says that he has a certain attitude toward him too. And so we read in Malachi chapter 1, verse 1, the burden of the word of the Lord, that is the oracle, the word of the Lord, which is a message to Israel by Malachi. Malachi means Malachi, my angel, my messenger. And he begins by verse 2. This is God talking to his wife, you know, to his people, Jacob, to the twin brother of Esau. You know, sort of a dialogue there, and obviously, you know, there was not a real dialogue, just the way God inspired Malachi to write it, which basically depicts, you know, his feelings and, in essence, sort of conflict, marital conflict between him and his wife, people of Jacob. And so it says in verse 2, I have loved you, says the Lord. Yet you say, you know, you're my wife, you're my people, you're Jacob. In what way have you loved us? You know, that's the attitude of Jacob. Jacob's got a lot of problems too. God replies, was not Esau Jacob's brother? We both twins came from the same father and mother. So he says, was not Esau Jacob's brother? Says the Lord, yet Jacob I have loved. In other words, I blessed him. I gave him the land. I gave him the birthright. You know, he was never grateful for it, as it should have been. Constantly went into idolatry, just like Esau. Yeah. Very few moments that he spent with God throughout all this marriage, very few moments that were happy in this marital relationship. And yet he said, in spite of all that, you know, I love Jacob, but Esau, I have hated. You see, Esau totally gave himself to the devil, so to speak, in many ways. With all the good qualities that he has, and on a personal basis, you know, a lot of the children of Israel are very, you know, very good people. You know them, and you're among them, and you talk to them, and you enjoy their company, and things like that. But, you know, this is not what he's talking about. You know, Jacob, too, you know, has many good qualities. And many people on the face of the earth all have many good qualities and good moments that you can have with them. But he's speaking specific about this acknowledgement of the sovereignty of God, or opposition to it. Acknowledgement of the Savior, you know, that God gave to mankind, or opposition to it in inventing a false prophet, a false Messiah, false religion. You see? Opposition to the will of God that determines to whom the land should be given, and you know, here's a person constantly going to war against that person to whom it was given. You know, in other words, it's as if he went to war against God. So that's what he's saying, in contrast, because Jacob, you know, was not in that category that Esau was. You know, with all the problems of both, Jacob I have loved, Esau I have hated, and laid waste his mountains, his nations, his kingdoms, you know, his property, wherever he had it, and his heritage. And he'd done it several times. You see? That's why part of the reason why also Edom had to flee from the original territory and go to other places. You know, his land was constantly being cursed by God because of his wickedness against his brother Jacob. And departing from God. And so he says, Esau I hated, and I led waste his mountains and his heritage for the jackals and of the wilderness. Even though Edom had said, we have been impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. In other words, so you know, so what? You know, you punish us, we'll turn around and rebuild. You see? Not repentance, not coming back to God, not finding out why are we being punished. What's wrong with us? What's wrong with our attitude, you see? He says, in essence, that's the attitude of Edom. They never got the picture. And they will never, unfortunately, until the end of times, until God totally crushes the entirety of the peoples of Edom, wherever they are, all around the earth, you know, with the exception of the few of them that, you know, humble themselves before God and submit to Him, and then the remnant of them, you know, from all that destruction that is coming upon them, you know, widows and orphans, they're going to submit to God, and God, as a matter of fact, is going to take care of them, is going to make Jacob take care of them. And so he says, thus says the Lord of hosts, they may build, you know, they can, you know, defy me and build, but I will throw down. And he brought destruction on them in many ways, and as he studied the history of Esau and where they went, you can see how he did it also, into the future, into this very day. And so he says, let me build, but I will throw down. This shall be called the territory of wickedness. That is wherever they are. That's how God regards them. You know, on a national basis, because of that defiance, because of that constant perpetual hatred against Jacob, and defiance of his will and rejection of his religion, you see, and the acceptance of the religion of the devil, being a part of it, of the spiritual Babylon. And so he says, this shall be always the territory of wickedness and the people against whom the Eternal will have indignation forever. Imagine that. Forever. Speaking about the fact, you know, all this life, until God is ready to deal with them and totally, you know, just like he's going to deal with Jacob and remove the heart of stone that they have and give them a heart of flesh. And so then he says, and your eyes, verse 5, shall see, and you shall say, that is Israel, you Jacob, you know, you who are, you know, arguing with me now. That's in essence what Jacob was. Jacob was not doing too well either. But Jacob didn't have certain problems that Esau had, and that's what the issue is. And so he says, your eyes shall see, that is at the end time, and you shall say, the Eternal, the Lord, is magnified beyond the border of Israel, because God is going to deal with Edom wherever he is. All over the world, beyond the border of Israel. And in the land of Israel, where Edom is going to converge with other armies to try to destroy one final time his brother Jacob and take the land and take Jerusalem, the city of God. You see? And you can see what spirit is behind him. So it's a global conflict that transcends, you know, the older boundaries, you know, of the land and goes into other lands, and you have religion also involved there and the spiritual deception there and Babylon that Edom championed, among others. He's not the only one, but he's one of the chief, if not the chief. And as you study, we're going to cover some aspects of history later on, and then you'll see the whole picture there. People who do not study the whole history, they just miss it. And you go to Ezekiel 28, you're all familiar with that. In Isaiah 14, there he talks about two personalities, you know, the literal king of the land, of either Babylon or Tyre. And Tyre was the area where Edom went to and controlled that area. And they were not the only people there. They became the elite and they controlled the area. And we shall cover that in this section of history. And people recognize them for what they are and call them by what they are. And yet the world has totally missed it. And was totally confused about it. And that's a part of the blindness that fell upon all of us to one degree or the other. And God needs to remove that veil and covering that is on the nations of the earth. And a lot of his people, unfortunately, also being a part of Babylon, believing some of the lies of Babylon, not even knowing the true identity of the church, you know, believing the lie that, you know, God forsook his people, Judah, at least temporarily, or Israel, you know, the Jews, as some people would say, God put down the Jews and he picked up the church. You see, when we believe this kind of lies, you know, we're blind, you know, we're drunk, and we don't really understand. And so we read many of these things, and even prophecy, we don't really comprehend what we are reading. So we invent our own understanding and mix it up, you know, with truth that we read and we can comprehend. That's the reason why I've been confused all this time about Edom. The identity of Edom, therefore, did not really fully comprehend the conflict, the origins of the conflict, and, you know, don't really comprehend properly prophecy. And to begin with, we still are not clear on the concept of the church. The majority of the people of God are not. You know, given enough time, they will. We're going to have a lot of surprises in the future. And so there, you know, in Isaiah 28, that is Ezekiel 28, Isaiah 14, speaking about these two personalities, and yet is emphasizing the spiritual being that is behind these two. And it's the same spirit. And in both places you find Edom. Not only in the past, but to this very day. You see? And so when you come back to, when you go forward to the end of the book, let's say in Revelation 17, speaking about the great whore, it spends a lot of time. The whole book of Revelation has to do an awful lot with Brother Edom. You see, among others, who joined other nations in opposition to God. Opposition of a religion, opposition against the land of God, against the people of God, and bringing destruction on the people of God, and there still will in the future until God totally crushes the whole system. And let's go to Psalm 83. We've covered a little bit of that before that in relationship to Amalek. And yet we saw there that God makes it very plain that the chief culprit in this confederacy against the people of God, and it's not only in that territory, but everywhere where Jacob is, and a part of the story why the allies are in Iraq, you know, fighting Saddam Hussein, Persian Gulf War and all that, it's all part of the same story. Edom. And so God inspired Asaph to write this. It's the Holy Spirit speaking here. You know, the Spirit of God inspiring the prophet. Something that happened in the past, something that has been happening for many, many centuries, and something that is still yet to be totally fulfilled. And so he says, "Do not keep silent, O God," Psalm 83, verse 1, "do not hold your peace, and do not be still." God is the one inspiring that, you see. And the prophet speaks. These are the feelings and attitudes of God and emotions of God. And so he says, don't be still. Don't hold your peace. Don't be silent. For behold, your enemies make a tumult. You see? That's how God regards Edom, his personal enemy, because he defies him. That's how he regards Amalek, his grandson, you know, from a marriage with the people of Seir. He defies him personally. That's why in Exodus 17 we read about that personal war that God declared against Amalek. And so he says, your enemies make a tumult, and those who hate you. They think they hate Israel. They think they hate Jacob. You see? The great whore, you know, thinks that they hate the people of God. You know, of course, they don't recognize them as such, but, you know, they regard them as heretics. You see? No, he says, they hate you. And those who hate you have lifted up their head. That is against you. You see, that's what the whole story of the book of Revelation is all about. The opposition. Those who joined the prince of war, the devil, against God himself. Trying to topple his people, his city, his religion. And so he says, they have taken crafty counsel against your people. And consulted together against your sheltered ones. The people that you have protected and preserved. And although, you know, they may have gone into captivity in this particular time, the end time. They literally came out of captivity. Those who were brought back to the land of Judah, the land of Israel. You know, they were in captivity in Europe and other places. So, you know, there are several meanings to this. Verse 4, they have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, an entity, a religion, anything, you see? Blot them out. That's what the devil wants to do to the people of God, the wife of God. He hates them more than any other people on the face of the earth. And it's not only in the Middle East. It's all over the world. All the tribes of Israel. He knows exactly who they are. They're not lost to him. He knows who they are. And so he uses Brother Edom and others, you see, to continue this perpetual conflict and hatred that he has toward the people of God and toward God himself. And so he says, this is what they're saying. Come, let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be remembered no more. They're so abhorred, they're so hated. You see, that was the attitude of Edom from the beginning. He said, as soon as my father dies, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to blot him out from under heaven. See? Nobody's going to call Israel anymore, or Jacob. And that attitude was perpetuated from generation to generation. It is to this very day. And that gave a fertile field for the devil to use this man in particular, and others also, to destroy the people of God. And so he says, for they have consulted, because it's confederacy, it's not only Edom, they have consulted together with one consent. And mind you, Edom intermarried with several ones, so that's a part of the confederacy also, by marriage. They have consulted together with one consent. They form a confederacy against you. They never regard it like that, but that's the way God regards it. That's how God looks at the conflict in the Middle East. That's how God regards the enemies of Israel, and who is the chief one. You know, they form a confederacy against you. The first one that God records is the tents of Edom. You see, not only in the Middle East, all around the earth, wherever Edom went, wherever Jacob went, this is where you find the two. Because that was the link of the blessing and the prophecy that was given by Isaac, actually by God himself, that Jacob would always be in a position, wherever he is, to be in the upper, state, and to have the dominion over his brother Edom. And Edom will be in subjection to him. Now, you cannot have that happening. That can never be a reality unless the two are together wherever they are. You see? And especially since Jacob said, all this birthright promises in their fullness will come at the end time. Israel was just the beginning of it. Obviously, at the end time, we're going to see again Edom and Jacob were, together, wherever they are, vying, constantly vying for the birthright. Now, Jacob doesn't need to vie for the birthright because he already has it, but he needs to retain it and protect it because brother Edom is always after him, trying to get it from him. But since God is with him, in spite of him, he is always having the dominion, and he always subjugates his brother, one way or the other. But now and then, as Isaac said, you know, whenever Edom has a dominion, you know, because of your sins and iniquities, generally speaking, of Jacob, he's going to bring the yoke from off his neck, your yoke, and he's going to come after you. And so he's saying the tens of Edom, you know, they're the chief ones. And then the Ishmaelites, and mind you, as we mentioned earlier, Edom intermarried with Ishmael. He married the daughter of Ishmael, and so you've got the Ishmaelite blood there also. And Moab, you know, children of Lot, present the Jordanians, and the Hagarites, as we mentioned earlier, are the children of Hagar. And Gebal, the means the mountain in Arabic, that's the mountains of Lebanon, that means speaking about the people of Lebanon, because Edom also went over there, and also Greeks are over there. You see, you find the Palestinians over there, great numbers of them. You find, you know, that Hezbollah there, you know, that party, they call it themselves the party of God, that is constantly fighting Israel, terrorizing Israel, and then they pledge to continue to do it until they bring total destruction of Israel. You know, where does that hatred come from? See, they may not even realize who they are. And where did it come from? Where did it originate? And so they're all linked. And Ammon. And Amalek. Again, the grandson of Esau. By marriage, you know, with the people of Seir. And Philistia was still there, remnants of the Philistines. And with the inhabitants of Tyre, you go to Tyre there, you find a lot of Palestinians there. A lot of Edomites. You see? And also, he says, Assyria has joined with them. And that's the final end time fulfillment also. The people of Assyria, who are also men of the sword, men of blood, you see, are going to come after Jacob. And they're all the enemies of God. That's what he's saying here. That's what God is saying here. They're all my enemies. I'm going to totally destroy them. And so when God descends down on the Mount of Olives, that's what he finds him. He finds the armies of Assyria. He finds the armies of Babylon. He finds the armies of Edom. You see, of Amalek, of the Philistines, of the Ishmaelites. All these armies, and he's going to decimate all of them. Crush all the nations around Israel. And then cause the remnant to live in peace with them and come and lick the dust of Jerusalem and know that he had chosen them. You see, and then God will let the whole world know who and what is the true church of God and the true religion and who is the true God and the true prophet and the true Messiah and the true Redeemer, you see. This whole deception is going to come to an end, to a crushing end. But you see the chief antagonist here, chief enemies here, so to speak, mortal enemies, are brother Edom and brother Jacob, twin brothers that came out of the same womb, or the same mother. And yet one allowed, like, you know, Judas, allowed the devil into him, with the attitude that he has, and so this brother Edom. And God is going to bring an end to this conflict. And so when you proceed into the future, when this is going to happen, that's where you come to Isaiah 11, among many other places, where the rod of Jesse, you know, from Jacob, not from Esau, not from Edom, not any other place, is going to rise, and you know, he's going to reign over the land. And so you read about the kingdom of the line of the tribe of Judah, and then there is going to be peace upon the face of the whole earth. You know, verse 6, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and so forth. And the holy mountain is going to be a kingdom of peace. Verse 9, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the whole earth shall be full of knowledge of the Lord, and as the waters cover the sea. Now, brother Edom and Jacob are going to live in peace. All the enemies of Israel will live in peace. This conflict is coming to an end. There will be no more of it. But before that, still, you know, certain things will have to be done. And so we read in later on in verse 11, right before that, it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time, as he already did it before, to recover the remnant of his people who are left from Assyria and Egypt. I'm not talking about Assyria and Germany, you know, Europe. It's talking about the, you know, the Assyria of the old times. See, this whole localities, you know, in the same area, they're all linked to one another, and it's not one way over there in Europe, you know, as people always get mixed up about it. Ancient Assyria is still there. Today it's called Syria. And the people of Israel are going to be taken to captivity to Syria, among other places. Not only the people of Judah, but also Israel, who are, many of them are in the area because of the Persian Gulf crisis, and it's going to intensify, and more Israelites are going to be there. And so he's going to recover the remnant of his people from Assyria, you know, ancient Assyria, today Syria, northern Syria, and Egypt, from Patros, and Cush, from Elam, which is in Iran, and Shinar, which is Babylon. See? Rather, Edom is in all these places. And from Hamat and the islands of the sea. It's all over the place. And he will set up a banner for the nations and will assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Well, anyway, we're going to stop at this point now and continue next time. This is again Mordecai Joseph saying greetings to all of God's people.